even before I put any words up here, what speaks to you about that? What do you see? What does it communicate to you?
Jesus died on the cross
for us all. That's a lot from 2 bits of timber there, but that's right. Yeah, okay, so that communicates. What else does it communicate?
Christianity?
The Word of God. The Word of God, yeah. Holy. Sorry? Holy. So I didn't put any words there, but just a glimpse of those two images have created all this depth of kind of appreciation. It communicates, doesn't it? Well, the title that I've given today's sermon time is called A Picture Paints a Thousand Words. I won't try and sing that song that kind of uses that as an intro. But symbols are meant to convey a message without the need for words. But sometimes we need those symbols to be reinterpreted. A story that I heard once upon a time was that a father wanted to buy his daughter a cross for her 18th birthday. So he went in to a jeweler's store and said, I'm looking for a cross to give my daughter a birthday present. And the girl behind the counter says, oh, yes, sir, we have two different types of crosses. We have the plain cross on the right, and we have one with a little man on it. No idea who the little man was. And so sometimes we need to come back and remind ourselves of how powerful images are, because to a lot of people, that means something. Even for traditionally, Catholics have probably gone with the crucifix, the cross with Jesus on it, and Protestants have gone for the empty cross, and they would often link that to that he's not dead, he's a risen Saviour. And so different symbols mean different things. So here's, I've got 10 symbols that are going to come up, and I'm going to see how many of you reckon you can get all 10. So don't yell it out because you're feeding the competition, so to speak. Have a look at those 10 symbols. How many do you reckon that you can... Okay. Who reckons they've got 10 out of 10? Anyone? 9? 8? 7? 6? 5? 4? 3? It seems like we've got a few. Greg, give us some of those symbols. Give us 3 or 4 of those symbols. What do they mean? BC, okay, so let me see what. So this one's BCBC. Okay.
The bottom left hand corner is a symbol of the Trinity.
This one's symbol of the Trinity. Yeah, okay.
Top right hand corner is Islam.
So Islam? Here's one more.
The middle star is the Star of David.
What's that represent? Jewish faith or Jewish, yeah, but it is the Star of David. Okay, who else is going to fill in? Who reckons they've got the... who knows? Okay. What's this one represent?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, that's a dove. What about... Go with a hard one. Who knows what this one is?
Celtic
cross. Okay, Celtic cross. That one. But a lot of them aren't quite, and this is... and so a lot of them... let's go back. A lot of them had that circle around it, and you can actually see it. If you look at this, which I prepared earlier for you, you'll notice that this different little, that's got 4 sections, so it's not the symbol of the Trinity, but it is Celtic. But the circle around the cross is often part of that. It talks about unity or being part of completeness. Also, just for the builders here, it's really good structural because they used to have the arms of stone crosses fall off. So by putting this, this becomes like a brace. Okay, what about, who knows what this one is? This one down here is, what's that, left, second from the left-hand corner. None from a Catholic background? It's called, you'll see this a lot in Catholic art, and you'll see it, it's called the Chi Rho, which are the first two letters in the Greek alphabet for Christ. So the cross is the K in Greek, and the P is the, I don't know what the name of it is, but it's the R sound, the Rho, so Chi Rho. Supposedly, that was the image that Constantine saw in the sky that symbolized the victory that the Roman soldiers were going to get, where, and from that event, they say that Constantine then declared that the Roman Empire would be Christian. He says that the battle had been won because of an intervention of the Christian God. There's a bit of a dodgy thing that he made the Roman Empire Christian by nature, though they say that he probably stayed a sun worshiper all of his life. So very political. But the Chi Rho, if you will see that in religious art right throughout the centuries. This one shouldn't be, it's a symbol, it's just a drawing.
Communion.
Lord's Supper. So you've got Star of David up on the right, the Christian cross, the Islamic symbol, the fish. Peace, not peace, ichthus. And now people are going, what? That's right, it's an acrostic. Is it acrostic or fact? Acrostic.
Is it
the name? It may be, but the main thing, the Christian church used is Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And it was the word that, when you said it that way, it actually spelled the Greek word for fish. And when the story is that when the Christian church was persecuted, it was a secret symbol that you could draw in the ground as you talk to someone. If they saw a fish symbol, they would know you were a Christian. So each of those symbols carry a meaning. Does anyone know what the Lindisfarne Gospel is? The Lindisfarne Gospel was just a very ancient kind of book of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it's renowned. It was done on the island of Lindisfarne, which is part of the UK. And it's renowned for its artwork. And actually, the borders around it were so, they were quite wide, and they weren't for you to take notes in like your study Bible. They were decorated with the most amazing artwork. If you ever get a chance, you will see some of that. Let me, you won't be able to probably see much of this. This is one of the images that you find on the Lindisfarne Gospels. Okay, quite bizarre. And that one up there, you will see that there are birds, there's a cat on the bottom section, and it was out of a Celtic background, that all the images of things waving back and forwards. And sometimes I look at some of the stuff that's on that, I'm going, wow, that's bizarre. It's not the holy kind of images I have. But the reason for saying all this is that from the very beginning of the church, and before the church was even conceived, mankind has used images to convey meaning. And some of them, the history of the church, has been to use images to provoke faith. Stained glass windows, while they were decorative for cathedrals, did more than just decorate. They taught people who were illiterate the stories of the Bible. And they were great teaching aids. And so if you came in every week by week, even if you couldn't read or write, you could see the story of the Good Samaritan. You could see, in this case, the cross in the background and the dead body of Jesus. So this is an image of Jesus taken down from the cross. That's what it's meant to convey. And so this will draw your eyes, it will draw, hopefully, draw your hearts. So, Lenny, come on up. Can I see?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you.
So, I see you've got the book with you. Point in this direction.
Oh, there you go.
So,
yeah, I mean,
do you want to tell us a little bit about that book?
Yeah, the book's called Our Mob, God's Story, and it was commissioned by the Bible Society of Australia, where they invited Christian Aboriginal artists to contribute so they could, you know, share their faith. So various artists from all over Australia.
Yeah. Mm. So, and what I also noticed is you've got some artwork in there.
Yeah, Christy and myself, actually. Up one there, so loved. Christy's got a few in there. I've got a creation one, and Christy's got God's Grace and Noah's Flood and Symbols of Sacrifice. So
now I put you on the spot here. Could people have a look at that book at morning too?
Yeah, that's fine.
So it's amazing the variety of art. It's just incredible. And so you actually not only have artwork in it. When I opened the first page, it says, who were the editors? Who are the people trusted to choose from this? Your name appears there as well.
Yeah.
So I just want to recognise that you may not know this, because I know that, and we'll pray for you early today, because I know up on stage is not your favourite place to be. So this is a sacrifice that Lydia's made. And blowing her own trumpet, but we have some just really renowned artists within our congregation, and I know that Kev has a pretty impressive artwork up on Bishop Druid College. I think it's the entrance way. So we're very blessed by that. So I'm gonna put this up, but I'm gonna ask a few questions about yourself. So here's the image, so you can all see. But it's this painting that Lenny has done, and we're gonna come back to that in a minute, but just tell us a little bit about yourself. So, from my understanding, you were born on the Cherbourg mission.
Yeah, in Queensland. Cherbourg. Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't spell it, I've got it right 3 times.
Yeah.
Sure. Tell us a little
Cherbourg
bit about
Cherbourg Aboriginal community is about 3 hours north of Brisbane, on the traditional lands of the Waka Waka people. Lynn told me, Aaron Craig went through there. Yeah, so probably the second question, but my people, my mother's people are the Cubby Cubby people of the Sunshine Coast area, and my father's people are the Kawa people from the Winton area up northwestern Queensland, up near Mount Isa Way. How they come to be on Cherbourg was because the Government Protection Act at that time wanted all the Aboriginal people to be taken off their traditional lands and to be put on missions. And Cherbourg Mission was set up for this purpose. And I don't know why our people, like Sunshine Coast area is close to Cherbourg, but Winton is right up near Mount Isa. And, my grandparents, my grandmother and my dad travelled down. He as an infant. And, they stayed on Cherbourg Mission. That's where we were all born.
So I think as I'm reading and learning, I find the quite ironic that it's called an Aboriginal Protection Act. In that protection meant that good country on the Sunshine Coast was needed, so we forcibly. Now, that wasn't a choice. That wasn't just a relocation, like a sea change or a tree change. That was forced?
Yeah, it was forced because the government set up the missions. There was various ones right throughout Queensland, Cherbourg, Burrabinda, Palm Island, Yarrabah. You go all the way right up to the Thursday Island, you know, all these places were set aside so that the people could go there. Did many of you know that? Yeah.
So you were born on a mission. So were your parents or your family, were they free to come and go if they didn't want to be on a mission, they believe?
No, because it was set up as a government mission. We were under restrictions and it was a permit system where we had to get permission to leave the mission. And on the permit, I wish I had a picture of it, but it just says, you know, your name and the date and the time you are to leave and then the time you're expected back. And then if you don't, there's a consequence that you'd be punished.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a very strict environment. Yeah.
Now I'm asking questions partly because as I'm learning that did Cherbourg have much paying on Cherbourg?
Cherbourg,
yeah. Did they have dormitories, girls and guys?
Yeah, they did. The dormitory system was set up. There was three big dormitories on the mission. One for the boys. The middle dormitory was for the mothers and babies, and then the girls' dormitory was on the right. And when the people were sent out to work, because my mother had to go out and work, she got to her age after school age, about 14, and she had to go out and work on you know, white people's properties, so that, to help them out and that. And then when they got married, they'd have their babies back at Cherbourg and in the dormitories, and then they'd have to put their children in either the boys' or girls' dormitory and then go back out to work to finish off their indentured time or until they got married, and then they could all be together then.
And so were you growing up?
We were with our family because my mum and dad took over the running of the boys' dormitory.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they worked on sites that you were able to save.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for that. But there's part of, I mean, that's a pretty good picture. You describe what in my mind would be a prison system with day or night. But having said that, your family came to faith on the mission. So tell us a little bit of what there were churches or.
Yeah, there were three churches: the Catholic Church, the Church of England, and which is Anglican, and the AIM Church, which is the Aborigines Inland Mission Church. And we got brought up in the Aborigines Inland Mission Church, which is like you know, Baptists. There were a lot of Baptist missionaries that came to us, and it was a good environment. My mum came to faith first. She always took us kids to church, and in those days there was a lot of we learnt the scripture verses and everything. Singing was just absolutely wonderful. Now, and these are people that our old people, they were illiterate, you know, they couldn't read and write, but what they knew of the scriptures and what they could recite and what they could sing, you know, it just really encouraged me in my faith. But I got to a period too in my life where I pre-teenage years, where I said, oh, like most of us, I guess, you know, I don't worry about the church now, you know. I don't go along with everything. But then when I was 16, God spoke to my heart at a youth camp, and I came to faith in him. Yeah. And then my dad came to faith My dad was used to drink a lot. He gambled a lot, but he was a very prominent person in the community because he was a great organizer, and you know, he was a scout and scout leader and everything, and arranged all the entertainment and everything. But an evangelist came to the mission there one day, and they said, "Oh, we'll have a family night on Wednesday night." We said, "Oh, Dad, we want you to come, you know, come with the family." And he said, "No, I got to put the pictures on. I got the pictures, you know, and I got to put two reels on." So anyway, God must have spoke to his heart, and he got someone else to put the second reel on. And when he came over to church, we were all that surprised. And he came in time for the message, and the evangelist spoke a great gospel message about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And yeah, my father came to faith as well. So yeah, we were all complete then, and to his dying day, he really followed the Lord and gave up all those other things quite instantly. And yeah, we thank God for that.
Yeah. Mm. That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that. I don't know whether you want to do it on the real one, what I've realised, and I've come to grow in my understanding, although a number of years ago, we had our Bible college lecturer that did a missionary to inland Australia, and he showed us some of these, taught me a few little things like the different things. So, you know, and I learned what that little horseshoe shape meant. And it wasn't anything to do with horseshoes.
That's right.
So you just tell us what are the different elements of this story, what's it called, and what caused you to use those colours or those images. You can assume that there's some people here that still don't know what the little horseshoe thing is.
Even before that book was published, my husband and I, Kevin, we talked about how we could communicate the Christian message through our art, and we were very influenced by the Northern Territory Christians who would do the art on fabric or whatever, and they used that as a teaching method to the people. It was I just said I'd like to a favourite verse of mine, which was John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I just thought, oh, well, I'd like to depict something like that so that, you know, people could understand and you could tell the story, because that's what we used to do a lot. The old people used to tell us all the stories about everything around us and about our land and everything. And so I just thought one of the things I'd like to convey is that message, you know. And so I did a red background, which I thought would stand for the blood of Christ, you know, which was the ultimate sacrifice to me. And then I on the bottom half is, of course, the hill of Calvary. And I thought about the song, "Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain. Free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain." And I just want that blue and green to signify that healing power that came from that cross. And in our days, we needed a lot of healing, you know. We still do. But the old people in our church, the way they used to sing those songs, you know, like they never learned music or anything. When they sang songs like "Will Abide With Me," we talked about at Cordes' funeral, and like "Jesus, keep me near the cross," and that's such great theology, you know, from the old hymns. And they sang in four-part harmony, mind you. Beautiful four-part harmony. They didn't even learn music, you know. And that's what buoyed my faith, you know. great examples of the Christian faith, and my mum used to call those old people trophies of grace, you know, and now I know what that means.
So tell us. As I look at that, I see there's a, I've been talking about the horseshoe thing.
Yep.
But it means different things at different spots, like those three horseshoes mean something different.
Yeah, well, the little red areas with the little black areas in between, they're all countries of the world.
These ones.
Yeah, those ones. And like that one you just put it on there, that's Australia there. If you look closely, you know, there's Africa, right. India, all that.
So it is really good Africa. Is that one? This one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So each of those, it's a different part of the world.
Yeah. Well, God's all over the world. We try to portray that in the painting.
Right.
And the two, these are like little meeting places on either side. And the little horseshoe shapes are actually people. And it's like when you sit in the sand or the in the dirt, that's the imprint that you leave behind. And
behind.
Yeah, that's right. And so I just wanted, you know, that to represent the people groups of the world. And then, of course, there's the journey lines that go from diagonally there.
Yeah.
And that just mean to us, it means our song lines, which is in our journey lines from where our country extended to and then.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So and then there's the cross in the middle, of course, the Jesus dying on the cross. And then at the top part of the painting is actually a symbol, the three in yellow at the top are the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, which was interesting in that those other symbols.
Yeah.
In the Northern Territory, they do it a different way. They do it like an M shape, the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit side by side. Yeah. Yeah. And we just wanted to put it like that to show unity and you know, of the Trinity and that. And so the other people, and then that part up the top is the heavenly realm.
These bits?
Yeah, well, the whole part of the top,
That
section up the top, because the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, you know, rule from there. And then there are believers. And they're all different colours because it just, we're all different colours, you know. And that's actually, that section is heaven, you know, a much anticipated place for all believers. And, so I think that tells the gospel story in itself, so...
How's that? I bet you did, yeah.
I can't recall, you know, how many times people have rung me up and said how much they were blessed by that painting, you know. Yeah, schools, universities, councils, you know. We've sold that many prints of this stuff, you know, of this design, I mean. And the blessing that it brings to people is just, you know, unreal. But the feedback that we get, you know, and it makes me proud that our culture and artwork and everything is being valued. And I just thank God that we could use it in a Christian way to be a witness to others. And I've got some of these cards with the envelope, so if any of you would like to use it as, you know, like a little gospel outreach or what to give to your friends, you're welcome. Mm.
Thank you so much. Let me, let me just take a seat for a moment. I actually, I was reflecting on the thing for NAIDOC with the black letter. I said before, I felt a bit awkward. I had the regular t-shirt that says I'm black with Anna Collins. I might be dark hearted at times, but but I think the layout, the layout, and and all of those things are important for Aboriginal people, because a lot of that has been stripped away and beaten down. But I just want to acknowledge that, as I said, we've got some great talents and some people of great depth, Christian depth in our community. I actually heard about you before I even left Sydney. How about that?
I told
you that, but also when I was coming up here, I was with a family. They loved to go to the, I think it's the AIA church down in Shoalhaven Heads.
Oh,
and
okay.
I said, oh, we're relocating, I'm going to build a house in Coffs Harbour or up around that. And they said, oh, that's where Kevin and Glennie Naden are. They run youth camps down and they knew, and I'd never heard of either you or Kevin or what had happened, but I just want to say the influence goes wide, not just here, but for all of us. We get the opportunity to bless and influence others. You've heard Glennie's heartbeat expressed in her art and the deep, deep, rich heritage that comes. And I guess I want to say for me and on behalf of the church, we're proud of you. Not just you, but your family.
Yeah, thank you.
In so many ways. And one of the things that happened was, I mentioned last week that Kev was nominated for a couple of awards, and that's significant. See him up on stage with a whole group of other people, which was just incredible. I was somewhat struck that as each person, particularly in the Uncles Award, each of them hugged one another, or like there was no, there didn't seem to be, or even you hit it well, if there was any sense of competition, they were just cheering each other on.
Mm.
And I thought, surely that's the way that we're meant to be. That's the way that the Bible calls us. I was really blessed by that. What I want to finish with, because when the first time I heard your testimony and the fact that this transition from forcible relocation of your people, probably for just the sake that that's good land and you can't have it anymore, and they take a group of people, force them onto a mission, and yet in the midst of that injustice, God brings the gospel and transforms your family's life, and your mum and your dad and your brothers and sisters and stuff like that. And I just recognise this. And we know that in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I just think your story is one illustration of that. Now, that doesn't mean that the things that happen are good, but that God transforms things that are not good to bring his glory and his honor. We see it in the story of Joseph when he looks at his brothers and said, what you meant for evil, God actually planned for good. God can take those things. And I'm just, I'm blessed that in the midst of that kind of environment, God reached out and has impacted your family, continues to impact throughout
well,
that.
Yeah, well, it does, you know. And when I became a young Christian, you know, we never used to hardly look at anybody around because they were all related, like romantically. So I used to pray, oh, you know, Lord, if it's your will, bring someone, you know. And he did. He brought Kevin, you know. And Kevin was a young Christian in his church down in Gilgandra. It was an AIM church too. And he used to go along to church with all the oldies there. But, yeah, he brought us together and we had a great lot together. We served in this church and we served in the with the youth camp, Aboriginal youth camp, for over 30 years. And that's how we met Jeff and Colleen at Scott said there and everything, and God blessed our life and ministry together, and he gave us a beautiful family and now grandchildren, and brought Kev into our life too, young Kev. You know, Kev came to the Lord at a youth camp too, so, you know, God works in wonderful ways, and our God has blessed us throughout our life.
Yeah. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for we just heard Glennie's story, and it's such so rich and deep. And then we looked at her artwork, and again we see something that is rich and deep. And both her life, her family, and her artwork seek to do what we've tried to do each week here, which is to glorify your name and to make the amazing good news of the gospel relevant to people around us. So thank you for the history of your activity for generations that we've heard expressed. We thank you for that privilege, and we pray that your influence will continue through Glenn and the family and grandkids and friends and through our church and through our friendship right on. Thank you for this great privilege. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh.